Not much there, there.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. On this morning, after Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner laid out plans to leverage billions of dollars into Wall Street, it is taking a lot of heat in Congress. The top Republican on the Senate Banking Committee, Alabama's Richard Shelby, says he thinks Geithner wasted Senate time in trying to explain the program. And there wasn't much to that plan anyway. Not much is in specifics. Shelby told CBS's The Early Show that the administration must do better than this. Apparently, Wall Street agreed. Stocks lost big time yesterday in the wake of the announcement. The Dow closed down more than 380 points, about 5%. And there were 4 and 5% losses across the board for the NASDAQ and S&P 500. Asian markets closed lower for the most part. Hong Kong down 2.5%. Europe's mixed today. Frankfurt and London are up. Paris is down slightly. We're set to hear today from some executives at banks that took bank rescue money last fall. They'll testify before the House Financial Services Committee. It's likely to be more ritual sacrifice for them than testimony. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
I know the U.S. doesn't torture, but if today's hearing is anything like the one yesterday in the British Parliament...
You were in charge of this board. You've destroyed a great British bank. You've cost the taxpayer £20 billion.
Well, let's just say C-SPAN's ratings will be higher than usual. Bankers on the stand will include Citigroup's Vikram Pandit, Bank of America's Ken Lewis, and Morgan Stanley's John Mack. They'll be defending the industry's use of $176 billion in taxpayer assistance. Banks are under pressure to increase lending, and some are accused of hoarding government dollars instead of making them available to customers. The biggest fireworks, however, are likely to involve bonuses, jets, and lavish parties, like the multi-million dollar Super Bowl bash the Barron Bank of America threw. Whether lawmakers leave time to ask about the second phase of the bank bailout remains to be seen. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
China may seem like the workshop for the world, but it's not pumping out as much stuff these days. Chinese exports fell more than 17% from a year ago. That number measures exports for the month of January. For December, China reported only a 2.8% drop. And in its defense, China says its New Year celebrations, which started last month, were a major drag on exports. But analysts say the number indicates trouble is still ahead for China. Today, a congressional committee is holding hearings on the salmonella outbreak in peanuts. The FDA traced it to a processing plant owned by Peanut Corporation of America. The plant, located in tiny Blakely, Georgia, has been shut down and its 50 employees laid off. That's worsened the economic situation of a small farming community already hit hard by the fallout. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Blakely, Georgia calls itself the peanut capital of the world. The town even has a statue of a giant peanut in its central square. Rick Hall is the mayor of Blakely.
It's a granite monument that has a peanut on top of it, and it was erected back in the 50s.
At the height of the peanut boom, Blakely had 30,000 residents. That population has now fallen to 6,000, as foreign competition and reduced federal subsidies have hit the local farm economy. Hall says it will be hard for Blakely to recover from the closing of the Peanut Corp plant.
Certainly it has devastating effect to those 50 employees, but our biggest concern is hopefully that this doesn't cause further erosion of our population by folks having to move to try to find employment somewhere else.
Hall says he's confident this salmonella scare will pass, and in Blakely at least, peanuts will once again be king. I'm Dan Gretsch. For Marketplace.
By the way, Peanut Corporation suspended another plant operation in Texas as state and federal officials investigate there as well. Remember when Congress voted to delay that looming switch to digital television? It had been planned for Tuesday, but because of the financial crisis, Congress put it off until June. Well, you may have breathed a sigh of relief about that, but now you might want to start worrying again. There are reports that as many as 500 TV stations are planning to go digital anyway. Nielsen estimates that more than 6 million households may not be ready for that switch.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
All right, the Senate finally approved a new version of the stimulus package, but debate continues about whether it's a good idea in the first place. Commentator Will Wilkinson isn't so sure, and he thinks there's more psychology than theory at work.
The government is about to spend $838 billion in taxpayer dollars on the premise that the economy otherwise risks spinning into a sort of death spiral. So how exactly is this supposed to work? The terrifying fact is that nobody really knows. The president's idea is that American investors and consumers are undergoing a self-perpetuating crisis of confidence, suffering from depressed animal spirits, to use John Maynard Keynes' famous phrase. Consumers, fearing the worst, cut spending. And that hurts retail sales, which hurts profits, which leads to layoffs, which leads to a new round of anxieties for creditors and consumers, and on and on and on. A big blast of tax cuts and government spending, a sort of economic shock therapy, is supposed to jolt us out of our self-reinforcing funk and put us on the happy path to recovery. In this Keynes-inspired view, anti-recession macroeconomic policy turns out to be a kind of government mood manipulation. Sadly, macroeconomists are amateur psychologists at best. They simply don't know which interventions reliably buoy consumer and investor confidence. Indeed, many leading macroeconomists say there's little evidence that slashing taxes and boosting spending works well at all, even in theory. And the massive stimulus package we're about to get is far from a work of economic science. Harvard's Robert Barrow, one of the world's most influential macroeconomists, says the bill's tax cut and spending provisions are both garbage. The idea is that stimulus will revive flagging animal spirits by actually priming consumption. But an ill-designed set of initiatives, a bunch of garbage, may do little more than run up crushing deficits that we'll pay for in inflation or pass on to our kids. President Obama did promise to bring us hope. Well, I'm doing my best to hope this works.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your thoughts with us and check out the numbers and podcasts and meet our new online host, Scott J. Gow, InsideMarketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chitakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.